So, for a Christian, tonight we consider the name soldier. Many years ago, an old preacher wrote these lines. It seems to be supposed by churches everywhere that believers young and old, instead of being recruits to Christ's army, are to be cradled and coddled and wheeled in a perambulator to heaven under the caressing smiles of their mother church. For as a matter of fact, God no sooner saves his soul than his trumpet blast calls him to suffer hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. How true this is, and yet how this is overlooked. And even true believers many times forget that when they are put into the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not on the road to a Sunday school picnic, nor to a bed of roses, or to a life of ease. But as soon as they are brought into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, immediately they are thrown into the middle of a struggle, a battle. And we need to be reminded tonight that the Christian life, every step of the way, is a battle. It's a warfare. And you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And it is an unceasing, perpetual battle. And we can never, never let down. And just as soon as we do let down, and just as quickly as we become careless and indifferent and complacent in our role as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, just that quickly, we can be certain that we're going to be attacked by Satan and that you and I are going to somehow go down in defeat. So tonight we need to consider this name, a soldier of Jesus Christ. Now we are in a warfare. The scriptures are clear on this. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but spiritual, to the pulling down of strongholds. Ephesians 6:12 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. In 1 Timothy 1:18, Timothy is urged to war a good warfare. And in 1 Timothy 6:12, to fight the good fight of faith. And we could cite any number of other scriptures out of the New Testament that impresses upon us that you and I, right as we sit here tonight in the house of the Lord, are heavily engaged in a spiritual conflict and warfare. And we have three enemies. We have an internal enemy, we have an external enemy, and we have an infernal enemy. Three areas of conflict. First of all, the internal enemy. In Romans 7:23, Paul says, I discover a law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. And he goes on to expound about that inner warfare that takes place in the life of a believer. You and I, though we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, though we have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit and put into God's family, yet have dwelling within our bodies, within our lives, that old sin nature. It is still there. It has not been eradicated. And you and I, as long as we live in the bodies of this flesh, will be susceptible to this war within. The old sin nature, tempted and attacked by Satan, trying to pull us down. The new man in Christ, the power and presence of the Holy Spirit within our hearts, seeking to take us up to higher ground. And you and I are constantly in this inner conflict, what the theologians call the tension of sanctification. The old sin nature seeking to bring about defeat, and the new man in Christ seeking more and more by the enabling of the Holy Spirit to conform us to the likeness of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul in Romans cries out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh? And you and I, though we are Christians, need to recognize this truth, that there is a war within. And we Presbyterians do not believe that we arrive at a state of perfection in this life where this is no longer a problem to us. As long as we draw the breath of life in this life, there is going to be the battle within. the internal enemy, the flesh, the old sin nature within us. Paul says in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And you know it, and I know it. And there's not a day that goes by in our Christian lives that we do not know it. The things that I would not, those I do. And the things that I would, I do not. The war within. But there's also an external enemy. In James 4:4, James speaks of the friendship of the world, which is the enmity against God. In 1 John 2, John talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And as he says of it, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so you and I have a warfare with the world about us. And when we talk about the world, we're talking about the world system of unregenerate men that are under the dominion of Satan. And you and I have to live in this world. We have to work in this world. We have to fellowship in this world. We have to go out and rub shoulders with this world. And this world is constantly applying pressure. Such things as peer pressure. Such things as social pressure. But the unregenerate world constantly trying to cause a Christian to deviate from the straight and true path. And you and I have to wrestle with this each and every day. The war from without, the external enemy, the world order under the dominion of Satan. And this is another area that you and I have to contend with. But then there is the infernal enemy. The infernal enemy. In 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says that our adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. In 2 Corinthians 11, it says that sometimes he is transformed as an angel of light. And in Ephesians 6, as we have already quoted, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. And all the reformers believe this, and the scripture teaches this, that we have an unseen foe, an adversary of our souls, the arch foe of God, Satan, and all of his demonic fallen forces that are arrayed against the Lord Jesus and against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are our enemies. And Satan comes at one time like an angel of light, seeking to deceive us. Another time he comes like a roaring lion, trying to discourage us and cause fear in our hearts. And continually we have to contend with him. And so here we are. An enemy within, an enemy without, and an unseen enemy, Satan, and his fallen hope. Now, what are our weapons against this enemy? What weapons has God provided to us that we might fight the good fight? In 2 Corinthians 10:4, Paul says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual through the pulling down of strongholds. And in Ephesians chapter 6, if you will turn again to that, we read it as our responsive reading tonight, but Ephesians chapter 6, let's look at that for just a moment. Beginning at verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And really what the thought here is in the Greek. Put on the whole armor of God once and for all. Because the thought here is that we have an unceasing warfare, perpetually. Put it on and leave it on once and for all. This is the thought here, because constantly Satan and his satanic forces are arrayed against us, seeking to cause our defeat. And so it goes on to say then, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. As one of the commentators put, the whole host of fiends that are out to defeat us and to detour us and to get us off the right way. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. And that evil day is right now. Right here in this life, right now. And having done all, to stand rather than to fall down in defeat. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. And the word truth here really means integrity. Certainly based upon the truth of God's word. But the truth that he's talking about here is integrity, integrity of character. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we always have imputed righteousness. But this is practical righteousness, which is based on that, which comes from Christ-like character and conduct. Where we get chinks in the breastplate, and where Satan can send through his errors. It's when we have unconfessed sin in our life, when we are not living the life to the glory of God, and we're not demonstrating Christian character and conduct, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and these aren't those light little sandals. These are great big heavy boots with hobnails in them so you can firmly plant your feet and not be moved. With the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And this was the great door shield that practically covered the whole body. Of trust in the Lord and in his promises. Wherewith he shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation protects the thought life. Founded in the salvation that God has provided us in Christ. Trusting the promises of his word. Bringing our thoughts into captivity to Jesus Christ. Against the wiles of the devil. And the subtle temptations as he would come to take us away. Praying always with, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The one weapon of offense. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And if you remember Jesus in Matthew 4, at the beginning of his public ministry, as he was out there in the wilderness for 40 days, and Satan came to attack him, to turn him from his mission, and Satan would take Scripture and he'd twist it and pervert it. And quote it out of context. And the Lord Jesus Christ would come right back. It is written. And he used the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to turn aside the attacks of Satan. This is our one weapon of offense. The word of God. You'll notice in all this panoply that God provides for the soldier of Jesus Christ, the whole armor of God, there's only one part of the body that is not protected. The back. Because the Lord never intended for any of his soldiers to turn and run in defeat and in the opposite direction. He provided everything that we need to stand firmly for the Lord Jesus and the faith. And so God has provided the weaponry and he has provided the armor that you and I need to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now there are some requirements for being a good soldier. God has provided everything that we need. But what is the requirements on our part? As I've already pointed out, you've got to put on the armor. God has provided it. But you've got to put it on once and for all. You've got to use what God has provided. And this is where we get careless. And this is how Christians succumb to temptation, and this is how Christians go down in defeat. When they forget that they're in an all-out, unceasing warfare, and they become careless and complacent and indifferent and do not constantly remind themselves that it's a moment-by-moment, step-by-step battle and they have to be clothed with the whole armor of God all the time. But then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul says to Timothy, endure hardship, suffer hardship. Just make up your mind and know in your heart that it isn't going to be an easy thing. I think this is where we evangelical Christians, and I've mentioned this before on Sunday night, I think this is where we have made a great mistake in recent years. And a good bit of our evangelism, a good bit of our presentation of the gospel. And I think that this is where we have done all kinds of brand new babes in Christ grave injustice. That somehow in our gospel presentation we have said to them, if you simply receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, everything will be glorious and rosy and you'll not have any more trouble. And so they receive the Lord Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior and they wake up the next morning, they go out into the marketplace and they get banged good and hard. And they wonder, what is this all about? The preacher or some other Christian told me this was going to be marvelous. Everything was going to be glorious. Well, it is glorious. And the joy and the peace of the Lord and the purpose that comes in life of knowing Jesus Christ and the sense of knowing that your sins have been forgiven and dealt with and the guilt is removed, that is glorious. But dear friends, at the same time, we need to remind new babes in Christ that now they are thrown right into the middle of the conflict, and they're going to have satanic attack, and they are going to be tempted, and there is going to be pressure of the world upon them, and there is going to be this internal conflict. And we need to remind them that they have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Prepare yourself. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. And you and I need to be impressed with the truth that when you and I become believers and we're put into the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, we had better be prepared and set for that which is ahead. But also you will notice, going back here again to 2 Timothy chapter 2, for he goes on to say here, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What's this talking about? It's talking about disentanglement. And it's talking about discipline. It's talking about entire consecration. You know what James says? James says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And a person, a Christian, a believer, who is trying to straddle both sides of the fence and is trying to keep two things going, the better part of two worlds, and who has not committed himself completely into the hands of Jesus Christ and trusted him to take care of these matters, and is playing both ends against the middle, thinking he's going to come out better than anything else because he's got his hands in both things. This is the kind of a Christian that's going to go down in defeat. And Paul says to Timothy, my dear young Christian friend and soldier, you'd better make sure that you're disentangled and that you've got your priorities and your loyalties in proper sequence and order. Entire consecration and discipline. Oh, how we dislike that word, don't we, in this 20th century? Psychology has done such a masterful job through our educational system of making discipline sound like a dirty word. But discipline is necessary in the raising of children. Discipline is certainly necessary in the army. If you've read articles in recent years, how discipline has broken down in the armed services so many times and the difficulties that they're having. And it's no different in the Christian life. If you and I are not disciplined soldiers, if our lives are not disciplined, if you and I do not have a set time every day when we meet with the Lord, when we're in His Word, when we're on our knees in prayer, when we're feeding our souls, when we're meditating, when we're equipping the inner man, then you can be certain that you and I are not equipped to go out into the world and fight the battle of the good fight of faith. Discipline. This is why we have to constantly remind ourselves of what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. And that old life was nailed to the cross with him, and we're a new man. But a new man under the discipline of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, he says, be sober. Be serious-minded. Be diligent about this. Take this seriously. Same thing in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober and vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion. I'll ask you a question. How many professing Christians today are really sober-minded and diligent about this whole matter? Really take it seriously. As long as we get by with our 1 hour on Sunday morning chores, that constitutes our soldiery for the week. Beloved, it'll never work. We can't play church for 1 hour on Sunday morning and be a strong soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. The constant admonition of the New Testament is, be serious-minded. Take it seriously. Be sober. Be single-minded on this and be diligent. We don't realize the stakes in this whole thing. We're in a warfare. A warfare, an unseen warfare, where the powers of Satan are leveled against the Christian. And I know some of you, like I have gone through those periods in my life where Satan has come an all-out attack, and he's brought discouragement and despondency. He's going after the thought life. And you and I constantly have to take this seriously and be diligent, making sure that we have on the whole army of God. Now, as difficult as all of this may sound, let me say in conclusion that victory is assured. Jesus in the Gospel of John said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And he defeated Satan at the cross. And when you go to the closing chapters of the book of Revelation, we hear the outcome, we read the outcome of Satan. Satan's doom is sealed, though he is very much alive today. But victory is assured. We are on the winning side. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because victory is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ." We're on the winning side, so we need not despair. And yet at the same time, while you and I are walking the road of this life, every moment of every day, we must be constantly reminded that we're a soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you and I must be equipped and girded for the conflict, and that you and I must look forward to that time like Paul when you come down to 2 Timothy 4. The last words that Paul ever wrote, as he wrote to young Timothy and urged him to come before winter, because he knew his time was running out. He had only a few months before he would be beheaded there in Rome. And he could give this testimony: "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Beloved, this is the way we're supposed to be. That when you and I come down to the end of the road of this life, you and I will be able to bear testimony: yes, we have fought a good fight. We have given it everything we have in devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ all the way. We finished the course that he set before us, and we kept the faith. And we know with assurance that there is reward as we step into his presence. For the scripture says, "Someday we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an accounting of the things that we have done in the flesh, whether they be good or bad." And that good soldier who has warred a good warfare, who has fought a good fight, will hear his Lord and Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And beloved, on the moment that that happens, when we have the smile of the face of Jesus Christ and his "well done," then everything that you and I have had to endure, all the fights that we have gone through for the faith, everything that we have done to persevere and stand true to him and to live for him, it won't seem like a thing in compared to the glory of his smile and his "well done." We're in a fight. Put on the whole armor of God. May we pray. Our Father and our God, we thank thee tonight for the truth of thy word. We thank thee, Father, that thou dost reveal to us the condition exactly as it is, that we have been gloriously saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we do have a home in heaven, we do have our sins forgiven, we do have a new spiritual life right now. But Father, thou hast also told us that we have been plunged into a warfare, and that we're called upon to fight the fight, that we're called upon to be true and steadfast, we're to endure, we're to put on the whole armor of God. And so, Father, we pray tonight that Thou will teach us each and every day what it means to be a good soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus, to live for Him, sacrifice for Him if need be, and above all, Lord, to take His word seriously. Granted, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.